verse number 31. So Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 31. It says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again." I want to preach a message tonight entitled, "Should a Believer Drink Alcoholic Beverages?" We are done with our series on investing in our marriage, and even done preaching on the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And so this is just kind of one of those in-between messages until we discover what our next series of messages will be. So again, the subject tonight is, should a believer drink alcoholic beverages? Some of you may wonder if there really is a debate in regards to that question. But believe it or not, not everyone answers this question in the same manner. Most fundamentalists, I'm sure, would speak with one voice, but I've even found fundamentalists who do not answer this question in the same way in which I would. So occasionally, you will have a fundamentalist who believe it's okay to drink alcoholic beverages. And I think most of you know by now what my conviction is regarding this subject, and my answer to that question would be absolutely not. Some view moderation as the issue, because clearly in the Scriptures, drunkenness is a sin. Romans 13:13 says, "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy." We're not supposed to walk in drunkenness. Galatians 5:19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these," and I'm just going to mention one, "drunkenness, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things as drunkenness, shall not inherit the kingdom of God." And 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And it does go on to say, "And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Drunkenness is clearly sinful. And a person who is engulfed in drunkenness is someone who's not on the path of life, someone who's not saved. Because clearly, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, when someone gets saved, if they were a drunkard previously, that all changes.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And God helps them with that change. But should a believer abstain completely from alcoholic beverages? Because as I said, some people think that moderation, drinking in moderation, even alcoholic beverages, is okay. How do they justify their position? Well, they quote Ephesians 5:18, and it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And they point out that the verse doesn't condemn drinking a little alcohol, that it condemns drunkenness, because that is called an excess. And we'll come back to these verses later and try to shed some light on them. But this is what is used by some who think that you can drink in moderation. They point out 1 Timothy 3, 1 Timothy 3:3, 3:8, Titus 1:7, Titus 2:3. They all say the same thing. Most of those passages are referring to the pastor or the deacon, and it says that he cannot be given to wine. And it says the same of the aged woman. She cannot be given to wine. And so they interpret that as saying that drinking in moderation is okay, so as long as you don't go to an excess and become a drunkard. And then, of course, the favorite passage of those who think that drinking in moderation is okay is John chapter 2, where Jesus turns the water into wine. But you know, if it can be demonstrated by the Scriptures that contributing to drunkenness and consumption of alcoholic beverages is sinful, then we must conclude that Jesus did not turn the water into alcoholic wine, or else he would be guilty of sin, which we know is impossible.
That's right.
As I mentioned, my conviction is this, that as far as a believer is concerned, they should completely abstain from alcoholic beverages. And let me give you some reasons this evening why I believe a Christian, a Bible-believing Christian, should not drink alcoholic beverages at all. The first reason is because the Bible commands it. Here in our text in Proverbs chapter 23, notice again verse 31, it says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." You read that and there's probably at least some confusion as to precisely what the meaning is, but I think as you read it within its context, you'll realize that God doesn't have anything nice to say about this alcoholic beverage. And I think, if anything, we can at least conclude that what's being talked about here in this passage is alcoholic wine. If we look at the word wine throughout the Scriptures, you're going to find that in some cases it is undoubtedly referring to alcoholic beverages. In other instances, it cannot be referring to alcoholic beverages. For instance, when the phrase new wine is used, for the most part, that's referring to non-fermented wine or grape juice. And so because the Bible uses the word rather generically, we're going to have to look at the context to determine whether it's alcoholic wine that's in view or grape juice or something of that sort. But here, I think it's clear that it's talking about alcoholic wine. It may even be a reference to the fermentation process itself. Look not on it. Don't even look at it.
Yeah, amen.
When it turneth its color, when it's fermented, when it's alcoholic. At the last, notice it talks about the consequences of it. I mean, the consequences of consuming alcoholic beverages are quite severe, folks. It says, at last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. It hurts. The consequences of consuming alcoholic beverages are painful. Painful. Notice it says, thine eyes shall behold strange women. And that's not something you would have done had you not consumed alcoholic beverages. It says, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. It causes you to say things that you wouldn't say if you weren't under the influence of alcohol. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. I've never been to sea. It sometimes scares me because of this passage to go out to sea. Because if there's too much motion, you know, there on the ocean, it might cause me to get sick. Right? Get a seasickness. Motion sickness. And, you know, when you get motion sickness, you know, you vomit. I know a little bit about that, having been a newspaper man. You know, when I was little and my mom and dad first got, you know, their St. Louis Post-Dispatch newspaper route, we would drive along with mom and dad and we'd roll the newspapers, you know, while they threw them out the car window. And as you did that, undoubtedly you always got sick. Because you're watching yourself roll the newspaper, you know, while mom or dad is, you know, doing this, going back and forth, you know, throw a paper on this side, throw a paper on that side, and it always made you sick. And it got to be where you just despised, you know, going on the paper route. Because you got so sick. Well, that's the type of thing that's talked about here. That's one of the results, one of the consequences of drinking too much alcohol. It makes you sick. It makes you vomit. And it says, they have stricken me, verse 35, shalt thou say. And I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. You know, the book of Proverbs also talks about a drunkard getting a thorn in his hand. And he hardly notices it. Why? Because of his drunken condition. Mm-hmm. People oftentimes will consume alcoholic beverages and they become so drunk that the next day they can't even remember some of the things that they did the night before. But also notice one of the consequences of drinking alcoholic beverages at all is that it can become addictive. Because mm-hmm. yeah. It says, when shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. You know, not everybody that consumes alcoholic beverages becomes a, as they say, an alcoholic, a drunkard. They don't become addicted to it. But you never know if you're going to be one of those persons.
Right. That's right.
And I can guarantee you this, if you never take the first drink, you'll never become an addict.
Right. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Here it says very clearly in verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Not only does it say that we're not to consume it, it says don't even look at it.
Yeah.
Don't even look at it. Just stay as far away from it as you can. It says in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Wine, alcoholic wine, it's a mocker.
Yeah.
It will mock you.
That's right.
You put it up on the counter and you take sip and you take another sip and you take another sip, and you know what you're going to find? Pretty soon that alcohol is going to mock you. It's going to ridicule you. It's going to tease you. It's going to say, look what I've done to you. You thought I was all right. You thought there was nothing wrong with me. Look at you now. It's raging. Raging, anger. It's angry. It yells. It curses you. That's what happens. It all starts with just that first drink. And you know what? If you're deceived into thinking that there's nothing wrong with consuming alcoholic beverages, the Bible says you're just not wise. You're just not wise. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Someone says to you, there's nothing wrong with drinking. Some people would go so far as to say there's nothing wrong with drunkenness. Most Christians wouldn't say that. But they say, there's nothing wrong with drinking. There isn't. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And when you drink alcoholic beverages, it has a tendency to lower your inhibitions, cause you to do things that you wouldn't normally do, cause you to say things that you wouldn't normally say, cause you not to feel things that you would normally feel. It doesn't sound like it's a good practice to get into, that is, drinking liquor. I think the Bible commands us to abstain from drinking alcoholic beverages. But there's a second reason I think it's wrong for us to consume those beverages. It's because believers are kings and priests. In Proverbs chapter 31, you can turn there if you want, we have some advice given to King Lemuel from his mother. He's a king. And his mother says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Notice again, it gives us some other consequences for drinking alcoholic beverages. It would cause you to pervert judgment. It would cause you to make bad decisions. You know, there have been people that I've known throughout the past who've said that, you know what, they were never interested in drinking alcoholic beverages. Sometimes they drank them one time. And they saw themselves, out of control, and they said, you know what, that is not a state of mind that I ever want to be in again. In a state of mind where I am out of control, where I cannot control what I say, I cannot control what I do, and that this substance has that much influence over me. That's not a condition that I ever want to be in. And for that reason, King Lemuel's mother said to him, it's not for kings, not for princes to drink. They're royalty. They have big responsibilities. People depend upon them.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Yes, sir.
Therefore, it's not a good idea for them to drink wine. You know, the Nazarites were forbidden to drink wine in the Old Testament. If they made a vow, if they consecrated themselves completely unto the Lord and said, I give myself to the Lord, I'm His. If they make that kind of vow, they were to abstain from all alcoholic beverages. And to be holy. The priests, Aaron, the sons of Aaron, are said to not be able to drink wine or strong drink, and perhaps it says specifically whenever they're to enter into Holy of Holies, but they're not supposed to drink those substances because they're to put a difference between the profane and the holy. The unholy and the holy. They're to be different. The priests, those that made the Nazarite vow, the kings, not a good idea for any of those types of individuals to drink alcoholic beverages because they have a very highly esteemed position. They are royalty, if you will. That's the way I like to refer to that. And you know what? So are you and I.
Amen. That's right, preacher.
It says twice in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 6, chapter 5 and verse 10, that God hath made us kings and priests.
Amen.
Jesus Christ hath made us kings and priests. We're kings. And we're priests. We're royalty. I mean, if you're a loser, then go ahead and drink alcoholic beverages. That's what losers do. But that's not what kings should do.
Yeah, man.
It's not what priests should do. It's not what people should do if they have a huge responsibility, if they're looking out for the best interest of other people like you and I are supposed to be.
Amen. Amen.
We're supposed to be holy. And I don't know how anybody could perceive drinking alcoholic beverages as holy.
All right.
Thirdly, I think we should abstain from alcohol because it has the appearance of evil.
Right.
1 Thessalonians 5:22 says to abstain from all appearance of evil. Stay away from any appearance of evil. Now, there's not a lot of context there in that chapter and around that verse to give us an example of the type of thing that's being referenced. But I think that most of us would be willing to admit that alcohol has at least the appearance of evil.
Amen.
Look at the types of things that alcohol is associated with. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time since I've seen a commercial for alcohol. But, you know, I remember in the old days the types of commercials that they had.
Yeah.
You know, it was always, 10 Swedish models wearing nothing at all. You know, dropping down to the guys around the campfire that were drinking the brewskis.
Mm-hmm.
I'm simply saying that alcohol is associated with nakedness,
mm-hmm.
with carnality,
yeah.
with rock and roll,
yes,
with
sir.
Drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's the place that most people go to drink alcohol? The bar. I don't know, I've been to a few bars and they don't seem like they're very wholesome places
Amen.
To me. You know, even when I wasn't right with the Lord and I walked into a bar, I always felt uncomfortable. Probably because I was saved and it wasn't a place I should be.
Sure.
The lights are always down low and dim or off.
Yeah.
Why? because the deeds that was going on in there were evil.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Men don't want to shine a huge light upon themselves when they're doing that which is wicked. Alcohol's associated with rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Rock and roll. Nakedness. I think I can say this, that alcohol and the desire to drink alcohol is a desire of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. It's just a desire of the flesh. Of the old man. And the Bible says we're to put off the old man.
That's right.
And to put on the new man.
Yeah.
When I got my life right with the Lord, no one had to tell me that I shouldn't drink alcoholic beverages. I never recall Pastor Hendricks saying anything about it. He just preached on Jesus. Seems like the whole time I was there, he's preaching on the Gospel of John. And it was just causing me to fall in love with the Savior.
Yes, sir.
And the Holy Spirit inside of me just told me that those things are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And any alcoholic beverages that I had needed to be dumped down the drain.
Yes.
Amen.
Not drunk in moderation,
mm-hmm.
but to be done away with. Drunkenness and drinking is akin to reveling, partying. I went to the public school system, and on the weekends, I know what the kids looked forward to, partying. That's what they talked about, partying, reveling. And that always included alcohol. Also, I believe we should abstain from alcoholic beverages because we love the brethren. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Some of you wonder why in the world I bother preaching on this. We all know what we believe, right? I'm sure we're going to run into people, though.
Right.
We're going to question what we believe. We need to know how to answer them. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, start in verse 19, it says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." This is the Apostle Paul that God is using to pen this. He says, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." You know, when he was around the Jews, he, I assume, practiced their Jewish traditions and customs. The customs, the traditions, and the principles, and the feasts of the Old Testament. I'm assuming the Apostle Paul, he refrained from eating those things that the Old Testament forbid Old Testament Jews to eat. Why? Because he loved them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because he wanted to win them to Jesus Christ. Notice it says, in verse 21 and verse 22, "To them that are without the law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law." Just talking about the Gentiles when he was ministering to them. "To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." Again, I started off with verse 19 and how the Apostle Paul talked about how he was free. Set free by Jesus Christ. Free from the power of sin. Yet he used his freedom, his liberty, to serve others.
Man,
in verse 1 of the chapter, he said, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" And again, the answer to all these questions is yes. He's an apostle. He's free. He's seen the Lord. "Are not ye my work in the Lord?" And again, the answer is yes. And he says, "If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you," to the Corinthians. And he says in verse 4, "Have we not power to eat and to drink?" And he's referring to being able to sit down at their dinner table and to partake of their food, of their substance as an apostle. He had the right to do that. Jesus Christ himself said that the disciples, as they went out two by two, they were to enter into the homes of the saints. And the saints were to be hospitable, and the saints were to provide their meals for them because they were doing the work of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul says, "I have the freedom to do that." Of course, he says in verse number 12, "Nevertheless, we've not used that power."
Yep, that's right.
He says in verse 5, have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, or as well as other apostles? And the other apostles, they took a wife with them, and that created an added burden upon those that were feeding them. But they were at liberty to do that. The Apostle Paul was at liberty to do that, to take a sister, to take a companion with him, even though that would be an additional burden to the churches. He was at liberty to do that. But he said, that's not what I did. Again, he said, nevertheless, we have not used that power, but we suffer all things or allow all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, I want you to think about the principle that's being espoused here. He says, I was at liberty to take a wife. I was at liberty to eat of your food. I was at liberty, at freedom, to do these things. I didn't have to practice the Jewish customs, feasts, traditions. I didn't have to wear the garments that I wore, but I did it so that I wouldn't hinder the gospel of Christ. I wonder how come it is that some of those that think that this moderation is okay, that they don't just throw their alcohol out the door for the love of the brethren and in order not to hinder the gospel of Christ.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul said in the previous chapter, if meat makes my brother to offend, then while the world standeth, I will eat no meat. In that particular context, I'm the weaker brethren here. Alright? I'm the weaker brethren, because you know what? If I was to pick up a beer and drink it, it would hurt my conscience. I couldn't do that. Hurts my conscience when somebody, when another Christian does it too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's probably not right for me to point the finger at them and tell them how they should behave in this manner, but that is a scriptural principle, to restrict your liberty for the sake of peace.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I say we ought to abstain from alcoholic beverages because we love the brethren. You know, if someone feels that they have liberty to drink alcoholic beverages, you know what? Even though they think they have that liberty, what they should do is use their liberty not for an occasion of the flesh, but
right,
to serve one another. And that's exactly what Galatians 5 and verse 13 says. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And in my mind, that would mean drinking alcoholic beverages. I'm free, I'm free, I'm at liberty, I can do this, you can't tell me what to do. Jesus Christ set me free. Oh, that's a real charitable attitude, isn't it? But that's how some people act.
Mm-hmm.
It says, but by love, serve one another. For all the law is filled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And when you restrict your liberty for the sake of other people's conscience, that's called charity.
Mm-hmm.
It's called love. I don't know what number I'm on here, but here's another reason why we should abstain from alcoholic beverages. I'm not supposed to give the numbers anyway, am I? That's what they said in homiletics. Because there is nothing wrong with abstaining completely. That's real simple, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with abstaining from alcoholic beverages completely. You can't go wrong.
Amen. That's right.
By abstaining completely. Some say there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol in moderation. There's nothing right with it either.
Amen.
I really can't see a circumstance under which it glorifies God.
Yes.
I asked someone one time, I said, what would you think of me? You know, if you saw me in the bar, you know, drinking a beer. What would you think of me? As a matter of fact, maybe I started by asking them, you know, what would people think of you if they saw you in a bar drinking a beer? Oh, I would never go into a bar. Well, why not? I know why. Because of the types of things that bars are associated with, like drunkenness. Well, it seems to me it'd be just as wrong to perform those same activities in the comforts of your home.
Right.
There's nothing. You wouldn't be wrong. You understand what I'm saying? You wouldn't be wrong to never drink an alcoholic beverage.
Right.
You can't go wrong with that.
Amen.
That's safe
right.
ground.
Yes, sir.
Safe
Amen.
Ground.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And instead of straddling the fence in some of these things, we just need to get on the safe side.
Amen.
Get on
right.
the right side.
Yes, sir.
You can't ever get drunk if you never take the first drink. Look, I got to argue about these things to some people, but you know what? You just will never convince me that drinking alcohol is right. Because there was a time in my life where I drank, and I know the types of things that go on. And I'll tell you this, nearly everybody that desires to drink alcohol desires to drink it to get drunk. And that's why, in my mind, the Bible speaks so often about drunkenness rather than just picking up a bottle and taking a sip. Because those that pick up the bottle are picking it up to get drunk. That's why people drink. Why else would they drink? Some people say it helps them sleep better at night, so they take their margarita or whatever. Well, more power to you. But you know what? When the Bible talks about drunkenness, it's talking about people picking up the bottle for the purpose of getting drunk. That's why people drink. When I was a teenager, that's why teenagers drunk. When I was a young adult and people went out to the bars, it wasn't to have one beer. It was to get drunk. When people have barbecues and they got a cooler of liquor, you know what? It's not in an effort to drink a half a beer. The purpose is to get drunk. I got another reason I put down here why we shouldn't drink alcoholic beverages, because we have Mountain Dew.
Amen.
That one's partly Bible. It says drink the sweet. Why would you drink liquor when you could drink Mountain Dew? Mountain Dew tastes good. Liquor tastes bad. Those that drink it sometimes, you acquire a taste for it. Why would you want to acquire a taste for poison?
Amen! That's right, preacher.
Sometimes Tammy makes these rolls. Or no, it's not Tammy's rolls. Tammy's rolls are good. We go down to Ryan's, and we get Ryan's rolls. You ever eat at Ryan's, the restaurant? And I can't eat them, because they taste like yeast. And I swear that they put liquor in that thing. Because to me it tastes like liquor. And liquor don't taste good. And if somebody tells you it tastes good, they're lying to you.
Man, that's right.
Nobody can like that stuff. God made it that way on purpose. So you take a drink and spit it out. So what about these verses that some use to say that drinking in moderation is all right? Again, and you can turn there if you want, in Ephesians chapter 5. It says, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. There's a contrast taking place in this verse. A contrast. A contrast between being drunk and being filled with the Spirit. Because when you're drunk, another way of saying that is you are under the influence of alcohol. You young people understand that alcohol influences you to do evil.
Yes, sir.
The Holy Spirit of God influences you to do good.
Amen.
Why would you ever begin to pick a beverage up and drink it if you know it has the tendency to influence you to do evil? Well, I won't drink enough of it, Pastor, to make a difference. Listen to me. All you have to do is drink one beer nowadays, and it is, and that stuff will influence you. Just one. There are those that say, you know, the wine, the alcoholic wine that's talked about in the Bible is so far different and removed from the alcoholic beverages that are on the market today. Because their alcohol content is so much greater. Whereas the alcoholic content of even alcoholic wine in the Bible would have been much, much, much smaller. Some say you would have had to drink the stuff all day long to actually get drunk. I don't know if that's the case or not. I can't prove that necessarily scripturally, although it does seem to reference that in the book of Acts. The disciples, they thought they were, you know, full of wine. They thought they were drunk. And they said, no, it's, what hour was it? It's the third hour. We couldn't possibly be drunk by now. There wasn't enough time. Well, with modern alcoholic beverages, you could get drunk and really quick. I'm simply saying here, there's a contrast. Be not drunk with wine. Don't be influenced by wine. Don't be under its influence at all.
Amen. Right.
And just one beverage, just one little shot glass of whiskey, just one little beer will put you under the influence of that substance, and it will influence you to do evil. So I'm saying, why would a Christian ever drink alcoholic beverages? Instead, God wants us to be under the influence and power of the Spirit of God. And as I said earlier, I feel that drunkenness is the subject of so many of these passages is because that's the purpose people have in drinking. To get drunk. In John chapter 2, Jesus turns the water into wine. I have to always be careful anymore with my illustrations because my messages are out online. I hate that. So I can't give you specific people and examples, but I've had people in my life from time to time reference Jesus turning the water into wine and justifying their own drunkenness or maybe their own moderate drinking. Most of the times the people are drunkards, and so they're not trying to justify drinking in moderation. They're trying to justify drunkenness. And again, the people, for the most part, the people that bring that up to me are 100% rebels. They don't attend a local church. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They don't witness. They have no desire whatsoever for the things of God. But they know this one passage of the Scripture, and that is that Jesus turned water into wine. And somehow they feel that that justifies their drunkenness. That justifies their drinking. They're crazy.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Sometimes I don't know how to respond to that. Because again, if Jesus turned that water into alcoholic wine, say what you will, but he was contributing to their drunkenness. Mm-hmm. Because this was later on in that wedding feast.
Come on, preacher.
It wasn't, you know, at the beginning of it. No, these people had already been drinking.
Yes, sir.
And if they had already been drinking alcoholic beverages, and Jesus produced better alcoholic beverages, and they continued to drink that, then you know what? He's under the curse of Habakkuk 2:15, because he's putting liquor, he's putting strong drink in the mouths of his neighbors, in the mouths of his friends, and there's a curse of God upon that person. And I'm telling you, Jesus never sinned.
Yes, that's right.
And if somebody thinks that Jesus is contributing to people's drunkenness, they are crazy.
Yeah.
Jesus is holy.
Yeah.
Holy. And he would never contribute to drunkenness and revelings, banquetings, partying.
Yeah.
He would never do that. When the disciples saw that miracle, they believed. It wasn't because Jesus was making liquor for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The only kind of person that can come to that type of interpretation is a person that wants to justify their sinful behavior.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to justify my sinful behavior. I was a drunkard and I turned from it.
Amen, preacher.
And you know why? Because that's how God led me.
Mm-hmm.
What do they call me? A teetotaler? Is that somebody who doesn't drink? Well, I guess they just call a person that drinks a drunkard. What about 1 Timothy and Titus? Not to be given to wine. A lot of Bible teachers say that that phrase can be interpreted, he doesn't regard or doesn't give heed to wine. And that would seem to fit with what the rest of the Scriptures teach. The pastor, the elder, the bishop, the deacon, the aged woman, she's not to be given to wine. She's not to regard it, take heed to it, but to abstain from it. That would seem to make sense to me. As I read the Scriptures, maybe there's two exceptions. And I don't know this for sure, where alcohol is okay. And that's if you're sick or you're dying. In 1 Timothy 5:23, Paul said to Timothy, drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. It's unlikely that the wine that's being referred to here is alcoholic.
All right.
One man told me that he's had stomach problems all of his life, and doctor after doctor tells him the same thing, and that is, do not drink any alcoholic beverage.
That's right.
Right.
Not good on your stomach. A lot of people I know, it's not good on your liver either.
Mm-hmm.
Kills your liver.
Right.
And so it's probably not referring to alcoholic wine. Probably the stomach problems were the result of the dirty water. And you know how difficult it can be to get clean water in some parts of the world. Well, that's
right.
The way the entire world used to be.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the filtration systems that we have today. And so the advice is, don't drink the water, drink wine, drink grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help your stomach infirmities. But again, alcohol is used in cough medicines and things like that. I'm not going to argue with somebody who takes cough medicine. Proverbs 31, 6 and 7. We looked at the previous verses to King Lemuel. But it said later on, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. I don't know, I guess he's dying. Maybe they got to cut his arm off. Every time I read that passage, that's what I think about. In the Civil War, they didn't have anesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wouldn't normally encourage somebody to go under anesthetic. I mean, you know, just for giggles. You know what I mean? Because you're under its influence. You're out. You're down and you're out. But they do that for a purpose, right? To cut your arm off. To have surgery. And I'm glad they have anesthetic. When they cut my teeth out, I said, you guys are putting me under, okay? Do you want to stay awake? I said, no, are you kidding? Well, you take a hammer and chisel and bang on my mouth? If you didn't put me under, I would pass out. So I'm grateful that they have it. But in the old days, they didn't have that. And so if they were going to cut your arm off, they gave you a bottle of whiskey. I'm not going to argue with, you know, Robert E. Lee and the things that they did in the Civil War, you know, when they had to cut somebody's arm off. I think that's one time, go give the guy a bottle of whiskey. That's probably what I'd tell him. They're getting ready to saw his arm off.
Yeah.
Give him some hard whiskey at that. So maybe those are the only exceptions. But I don't believe, for the most part, it's right for Christians, for Bible-believing Christians, to drink alcoholic beverages. I think that we should abstain from alcoholic beverages because the Bible commands it, because believers are kings and priests, we're royalty, because it has the appearance of evil, because we love the brethren, we don't want to be a stumbling block to them, because there's nothing wrong with abstaining completely, and because we got Mountain Dew.
Amen.
Romans 13:12, it says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and listen to this, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof.
Mm-hmm.
When you consume alcoholic beverages, you are making provision for the flesh.
Yeah, preacher. That's
because
right.
You're no longer, you put yourself in a position where you may no longer be controlled by the Spirit of God, and you may be controlled by that substance. And I can tell you this, when you're under the influence of alcohol, it's not going to cause you to do good.
Right.
It's
going
to cause you to do evil.
Yes.
Because it allows your flesh to take over.
Mm-hmm.
So when the Bible says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, that's a prohibition against drinking alcoholic beverages.
Yes, sir.
And 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. We are children of the light, children of the day. You know what? Oftentimes in the Old Testament, There were even David and others would come across their enemies, and what would they find them doing? They're around their campfires, drinking alcoholic beverages. They weren't being sober. They weren't in the right mind, and as a result, they were defeated. They were conquered. I'm telling you what, if we don't stay sober-minded, if we don't abstain from alcoholic beverages, we're allowing the enemy, we're allowing Satan inroads into our life to destroy us.
Right.
That's what your preacher says.
That's right.
And the Bible says obey your preacher.
Amen.
So you can add that one to the list of reasons why we should abstain from alcohol. Lord, we thank you for thy word. And we thank you for the direction, the instruction that it gives to us. And Lord, I pray that our young people would listen carefully tonight. And that they would realize that you want them to stay sober-minded, to stay completely away from wine, from strong drink, knowing that it can only bring to their lives harm. And God, I pray that as we talk with others about this subject, that we would be able to accurately convey what the Scriptures teach, that they also would come to the convictions that we have. Lord, I think of the effects of the preaching of Billy Sunday, just one man. And yet everywhere he went, he preached on the subject of liquor. And as a result, this country forbid the sale and the use of alcoholic beverages. Lord, we long for a day where your men, the men of God, the preachers in this land could have the same effect upon our society. God, may we lift our voices towards those vices that destroy people's lives. And Lord, may you bless as we do so. God, use the message tonight for thy glory and for the benefit of thy people. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. With me, if you would.